Trainer Talks and Tales acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Turrbal and Yugara people of Meanjin. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Trainer Talks and Tales love having an array of guests with a variety of opinions. However, the views of the individuals do not necessarily reflect the perspectives of the host facilities. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Trainer Talks and Tales. You are joined by myself, Daisy, but you are also joined by...
Yes, I'm back.
Thank God.
A fleeting appearance. Baby's in bed, mic's on, forgot how to turn on the mic, but here we are. Look at me go.
Nah, it was so nice when Tessa's little face popped up in our Zoom chat tonight. I was like, thank God you're back. Holding the fort, it's been hard. It's so much nicer to do it together. Well.
Yeah, definitely a bit more conversational with two people, I can imagine. But you've been doing a great job. Don't worry. I was listening in, and thank you for holding the fort, Daisy. You've smashed it. I've been very impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, of course. It's been fun. And I also took quite a long break, kind of latched onto your maternity leave to take some downtime as well. So thank you, everyone, for being patient whilst Tess and I have been a bit busy, but it's been great to be back in your ears with some really exciting guests. But Tess, what have you been doing? Where have you been?
I tell you where I've been. I've been in this house. I'm working well at PJ's. No, I honestly have just been embracing this new lifestyle, and I love it. Mum life is great, and it's challenging, but honestly not as bad as I had anticipated. Like, I'm not going to make it sound like it's been perfectly easy, and it has been a transition for sure, but I think I envisioned it to be a lot more hectic and maybe had really, you know, different expectations and thought that I'd be in the trenches, like crying every day for 6 weeks and that kind of thing. And there's definitely been tears. Like, it's a big change, but I really enjoy it. And I think as much as I love my zookeeping career, and that was a big part of my identity, I think this has become a big part of my identity too, becoming a mom. I love it.
Oh, without a doubt. And that was, you know, that's what should happen for sure. And I know you said that you hadn't had too many tears, but I feel like when I saw you that one time, you spoke about having your notebook moment. Was that the film?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd never heard it referred to as that. That was iconic.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, there's a lot of hormones flowing through you in the first few weeks. And I think I just had like a bit of a roughie. I fell to my knees and cried. And I call it my notebook moment, you know, like, you can just imagine the rain going down and you just fall to your knees, like, oh yeah, it's a really big one. Now I'm making it sound hectic. People are like, oh geez, but yeah, it happens. I'm 5 weeks, Daisy. I'm good.
I'm on that hill. No, you look like you're absolutely thriving, and it looks like it was such a natural process for you. And I can't believe, you know, within what, a couple of weeks that Indy was born, you were like, oh yeah, we're going on our first couple of night holiday. I was like, well, this is amazing. And then you've just got back from a 2 week trip with family as well, right?
Yeah. And I think that's been a big part of it too. I just embraced this new lifestyle and kind of gone with the flow. You have to go with their flow, but also trying to live our life as similarly to what we had before. And the only thing that I wanted to say to everyone without boring them too much is I think it's fascinating how much easier, I'm going to say easier, it is having a zookeeping background or a training animal background without making it sound too complex. Basically, in a sense, you are just watching an animal and taking care of an animal that is your own, and looking for hunger cues, looking for sleepy cues, and assessing the environment and that kind of thing. So I think that has helped me. It really has. And obviously, there's going to be times where you're like, okay, cool, I've tried this, eradicated these different things. I don't know what you want. And that's just newborns, basically. But I have enjoyed the training element, if you will, in terms of watching these different cues that they're giving you. And for example, on the first night, she was born in winter, obviously. We took her home, popped her in the bassinet, got under the covers, we're like, night. And she's just like, what? Like launching, like, what is wrong? What's up, babe? And then we're like, oh yeah, it's pretty cold. Like, we should put the heat on. And you're like, okay, like, let's look at the environment. What's going on? Put the heater on, and then she was like, okay, popped it back in, and she cried again. And I'm like, well, what's up? And you touch the bassinet sheets, and they're freezing. And we're warm as anything in our flannelette sheets and our three doonas and that kind of thing. So I think that, okay, let me look at this environment. Like, this isn't working. Let's try this, that kind of thing. Let's heat up the bed with the hot water bottle. So it's fun. It's fun. It's lots of challenges, and I've liked experimenting with different things. So it's been good. The end.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really cool thing to bring up. No. I think it's a good ramble because, yeah, I know you spoke about, you touched on it a little bit when I first came to see you about sort of picking up on feeding cues, and I thought, oh, that's actually fascinating that it's honestly like the same thing that we do every day. So
yeah, who knew? And you just like see them like licking their lips or shaking their head, and it's interesting, and maybe we're more so in tune to it because we have worked with animals as well.
Have you been missing work, or have you been like kind of just indulging in the time that you've got at the moment, or a bit of both?
A bit of both, honestly. I took her into Lone Pine a couple of weeks ago, and I think I had the best of both worlds. So I walked in, got to be in my beautiful sanctuary that I love, see my friends, see my colleagues, watch the bird show, go behind the scenes and, you know, say hello to my beautiful birds, but also be there with my baby that I love. So it was just like a really wonderful day for me because it ticked so many boxes. I was like, okay, cool. I'm not out of this world. I'm not completely you know, out, and I'm still immersed in it, but I have my own you know, baby now, and so I can kind of do a bit of both, which is nice. So I've got another visit with you actually in a couple of weeks. True. So we'll be back, and I'll get to tick both boxes. So I do miss work, but I'm enjoying this lifestyle, and I know that work will be here in no time. I'm gonna get back to it early next year, and that'll be here in a blink. Like, Christmas is bloody next week. Time flies.
I know. Yeah. And it's so good for you guys to be so close to work. So if you do, you know, want to expose Indy to animals straight away, that it's around the corner from where you live, and so handy.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's about it from me. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. But you have been doing a lot of cool stuff. And in our break, you visited a lot of sanctuaries, a lot of zoos, and you just came back being like, I can't wait to talk about it on the podcast. So did you want to tell us a little bit more about where you went, what you learned, and what you wanted to bring back to the potty?
Yeah. I feel like it's actually been a lifetime that we've had a bit of a break, and it's been a really busy, hectic few months, but some really great things related to work and just animals in general. So I think probably at the start of our break, we headed down, a couple of us girls, Jess, Colleen and myself, headed down to Coffs Coast Wildlife Sanctuary. So we do try and get down there probably every year, and we seem to have some of the girls pop up and see us, which is great as well. We've got a really cool relationship with them down there. They focus primarily on pinnipeds. They've got some penguins, and then they also have some dolphins there as well. So super relevant, obviously, what we do. Massive shout out Stacey and Meg. They are two of the loveliest humans alive and always go out of their way to show us so much stuff that they're doing. Some really cool concept training that they're focusing with their Australian sea lions. They've got a really cool breeding program down there as well. And we had the opportunity actually to do a free swim with their dolphins, which is not something I've ever had the opportunity to do before. And I guess probably most people are aware of swimming with dolphins is generally under stimulus control. So there's usually food involved for like an encounter or, you know, something else that's planned. But this was a case of like, we jump in and they can interact with us, or they can swim around somewhere else. And we're just kind of in their environment and reading their behavior. And it was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done. Like, they had sort of almost like metal hoops at the bottom of their habitat that you could swim down to and hold on and just be underwater and just watch these dolphins swimming around you. If you dived in and swam fast, they try to match you and porpoise around you, which was amazing. So that was a huge highlight. It was absolutely freezing, but something that I would do again in a heartbeat. And then I spent some time in Bali with my family, which was really nice. Just catch up with my mom and her partner, Tim, spend some family time together. Bali is beautiful. Definitely somewhere I'd recommend if you've never been before. Really nice to chill out. Saw lots of monkeys, lots of wildlife there, which was really fun too. And then just after we got back from Bali, I ended up heading down to Sydney with one of my best friends, Jen. We just kind of wanted to do a bit of a zoo trip because I've never been to Taronga, never been to Sydney Zoo. And after speaking to Jimmy, when we spoke to him about giraffes, I was like, you know what, let's just book a few days, just go down and see what they've got there. So it was fantastic to go to Taronga. It's such a beautiful zoo. Again, massive thanks to Jimmy, Renee, Sarah, Darcy, everyone on the giraffe team made us feel so incredibly welcome. We got to see some really cool hoof training, some of the stuff that Jimmy had spoken to us about on the podcast, which was fantastic. And then we also spent so much time with the seals as well. So Ellie is one of the guys who works, she works down at the seal team. We met her at the conference last year. She is amazing. So Ellie looked after us, and Jose, Dana, Jake, Julia, all legends, spent so much time with us, seeing their seals, understanding their penguin program, what they sort of get up to, taking some great tips from their presentations. It's always a good opportunity to like have a look at scripting and see what work could work for us, what works for them, etc. So that was awesome. And like, it's based in such a beautiful area. Like, you can't beat a zoo on the harbor like that. You know, watching the bird show with that backdrop is pretty incredible. We actually got there the day they opened their ARC as well, which is their brand new reptile center, which was fantastic. And one thing that I thought that was really unique about it is it's quite rare that I've ever seen to see reptile areas or amphibian areas outdoors. So a lot of it is indoors, but they also had some really cool outdoor exhibits that had red belly black snakes, a couple of other snake species that I cannot remember the names of, but it was cool seeing them out in that sort of like natural sunlight and utilizing the heat in different areas. And it not always being in sort of dark, like rooms, I guess, which I think a lot of reptile houses seem to be like that. So I thought that was really unique, and really cool sort of factor that they had down there. So yeah, Taronga, massive hit, massive must for anyone that's never been there before. The team are awesome. And then, yeah, the next day we traveled out to Sydney Zoo. I have already spoken way too much about Sydney Zoo on a couple of other episodes, so I won't bore everyone with it again, but yeah, Sydney Zoo was incredible. Like, I absolutely, for training purposes, it is a huge win. The way they've laid out some of their exhibits, the habitats are phenomenal, big open range areas, some amazing chimp stuff that you're going to hear about in our episode with Lou, some amazing elephant stuff with Dean. Like, the one like really prominent thing amongst the whole facility is that training is a priority, and you can absolutely see that with amongst the species, the keepers, the animals, everything. So yeah, that, I can imagine we're going to see some really amazing things out of Sydney Zoo in the future, even, you know, even more on top of what they're already doing. So if you're down that way, Taronga is a must, but also Sydney Zoo is absolutely a must too.
I think obviously Sydney Zoo is a pretty new facility, and when I heard it was opening, I was just hearing these people apply who had so much great experience and they were really passionate. And I think that's an exciting concept that it was a new facility, so they basically had a clean slate, if you will, of who they were hiring. And yep, this person has this much experience, this person has this, and all these passionate people were hired. And you can see it now with how much they've progressed and all the cool training that they've done. Whereas if people have been at the same place for so long, maybe they haven't got that passion or maybe not the same interest in training. So that's what I credit it to when I think of Sydney Zoo now. Not that I've been, but just from what I've heard, that they had this, you know, fresh start with all these passionate people learning and applying. So I don't know. Is that something that you have got a bit of a feel for?
Oh my gosh, 100%. And I know that when you visit it, Tess, you're going to love it. It's definitely a facility that I can see you really enjoying. And it's something that Dean mentioned as well. He said straight away that the best thing about this place is there's no history. So you can create things exactly how you want to. And I think, you know, he mentioned that they're extremely lucky. They've got a curatorial team that is so supportive about training, super knowledgeable about that. And wants that to be something that is prominent within all the species across all the departments. So I think having a management team on your side that has those same goals as you do is always obviously going to be so beneficial. And yeah, exactly like you said, they can design things exactly how they want, which is so cool and pretty unique, pretty rare to have that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. No, like, you know, bless them. People have been like, we've been doing this for 30 years this way. So
yeah, literally. Yeah, you don't get any of that. Yeah. So yeah, that was a really fun break, lots of trips and new learnings and stuff, but also I felt like I was going to touch a little bit on kind of what I've been doing the last month, because I have had a bit of a different couple of weeks post all that fun. Ended up having to have surgery as I found out to have stage 3 endometriosis, which is not really relevant to what we talk about, but I also just thought it's kind of cool to be real about our lives and some of the highs and lows that we go through. And it's been a pretty hectic year, pretty heavy few months, but I'm hoping that surgery is a good step in the right direction. And I just think it's good to talk about it more, because I'm pretty sure there's like 1 in 7 women that struggle with that, and it is pretty debilitating and has been pretty controlling over me for the last few months, especially this year. So I'm hopeful that this is a step in the right direction and we're making the steps.
Absolutely. And I think that that's good that you highlight that as well, because people are busy and might be understanding that we needed a break for, you know, me having a baby, but there's always stuff happening in life. And that's a great example of that. So Daisy, you've had a rough couple of months too. So I'm glad that you highlighted that. And it's good to be back and bringing a bit more positivity and having something that you and I can both reconnect with and work on this together again. So yeah,
yes,
it'll be fun for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And something exciting I wanted to touch on with work briefly is that I have a new role ish kind of new role, which you might have seen I posted a little bit about on my Instagram stories. But when I got back from Bali, there was a temporary contract going for a marketing assistant, which I was lucky enough to get. So I am now doing just one day a week where I assist with all things social media and marketing. It is just a temporary contract for a few months whilst the marketing manager is overseas, but I am crossing fingers and toes that it might lead to something a little bit longer, because it's been so much fun creating content and sort of highlighting the animals in different fun ways as well. So if you want to be amazing, you can support me at Sea Life Sunshine Coast. Because Tess and all the girls have been fantastic with supporting me and everything.
No, you've been doing really well. It's been, like you said, it's been interesting seeing different ways of highlighting different species, and I've loved it. You know me, I love my socials, and been doing a lot of breastfeeding and just scrolling and liking double tapping all your pics, and really, so you've been doing a great job of that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been like a fun like new skill set to learn as well, because what I mentioned to them was that like I understand social media to a degree, you know, similar to you, have an understanding of the role it can play, but I've never really worked for social media where it comes alongside a brand and like you have to follow brand guidelines as well. So that's been really interesting learning about how we portray certain things, and it's been been great. I've got a really cool team to work alongside and great management with where I work and people that are really open to it. So there's been some funny videos that I've put together and I'm just like, trust the process, and they've been like, yep, go for it, Daisy, whatever you think.
Okay. Daisy,
but
Better go viral.
there's one coming out in a couple of days. It's a little bit like that, and I was like, just trust the process, we've got it working. Yeah, so hopefully that works.
Now obviously I haven't got much to add in terms of work, because my work is different now. But before we wrap up, do you have any goals for the end of the year or anything that you're really looking forward to?
A couple of goals. So we have been working on some new behaviors for the penguins, which I will touch on probably in a few months, if that's okay. We are working more towards like a husbandry goal for a particular penguin, which has been really fun. So we've had a few challenges with breeding season, food drive, all that jazz that comes with this time of year. But it's been a really great team effort to work through some challenges, what's been working, what's not been working, etc. So big goal for that to be successful this year as well. A couple of other penguin things that we're hoping to succeed in the next couple of months as well. But with seals, I've really just been focusing on maintaining relationships. I have been focusing a little bit on, one of my goals has been, to insert new cues for one of our seals. So a lot of our behaviors that we cue for our animals are geographical cues. So it could be standing on a particular side of the rock or walking to a different point of the area. Which is great, but it just means that these cues are limited to certain areas of our environment. So we want to make sure that those cues are not just geographical, but they're also visual cues. So that's been a really fun challenge to kind of transition a couple of cues for our male long-nosed fur seal Sly, so that he's now got two separate cues and we can ask them from different areas of the exhibit. So that's been a great little learning thing for me too. And then, yeah, hopefully continue to do some learning and some growth with that sort of stuff over the next few months that's left of the year, because it's coming around pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, but I'm excited for like some more conversations that we're going to have, hey, like the rest of the year. Obviously, it looks a bit different for you now with Bub, but I appreciate your effort. And I know it's probably nice for you to have like your check back in with animal stuff and touching base. Definitely. So. Yeah, we just kind of make it work where we can.
I'm a bit, Daisy has had me down to be on the last couple of episodes. I'm like, sorry, we got witching hour. she's crying. No, not really. But I won't be joining this episode. So Daisy's been very chill with letting me join as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we know that, yeah, she's going to have different patterns that might change all the time, and that's totally fine. We've got very good guests that are willing to be accommodating, and we can just make things work as we go along.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a very relaxed chat, and if there's anyone still listening, thanks for being there. but it's good to be back, and I hope you've enjoyed this ep, and we'll be back in your ears next week.
Bye.